if your life's starting to look like every day looks like the last, and every day looks like this ongoing eternity of just weekend, that is a problem, because you will lose track of, you know, the important things in your life. Because any time we look back, and it's hard to see what we had gotten accomplished for that day, that week, that month, it's a problem.
Well, that was Ben Tejas talking about the dangers of not goal setting and not living an intentional life, even in retirement. Jared Sebesta here on Retire Repurposed. In this podcast, we're going to give you the framework to best utilize your time, your talent, and your treasure in a way to create a 2024 that is not only fulfilling, but one where you are growing and thriving in your retirement. Enjoy this episode. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the show. So glad that you're joining us here on Retire Repurpose. We're going to have a great show today. We're going to talk about mapping out your 2024. And yes, even you as a retiree and a pre-retiree, it is important that you map out your year. Set specific goals, but have a specific framework to follow. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. We spent a lot of time talking about different mindsets going into this brand new year. We talked about the art of creation. We talked a lot about different books that you can read. There was one specific book that we brought up on the show a number of times called The Gap in the Gain, written by Dr. Benjamin Hardy and strategic coach Dan Sullivan. This is talking about a mindset where we always look back and really value the gains that we made and the progress that we made. If you haven't done that already, by the way, starting into a new year, if you've had some time to reflect or haven't had a chance to do that, encourage you to do that. Go back. I did this with my family not too long ago, where I actually went back and I looked at all the pictures that I took with my family over the last year, and there were so many experiences that happened, and it really was a valuable exercise to do, because it made me realize, you know what, there has been progress. There has been a lot of things that have happened that are worth celebrating. And if we're honest with ourselves, that there's something that you can take away from every single one of you every single year in the growth department. So that's what we've been talking about. And last week, we talked about having openness. The ticket for you having a great 2024, even for a retiree, may be having kind of an open mind to new experiences. Ben Tejas joins me on the show now. And last week's show, Ben, we talked about the story that you had recently picking up a hitchhiker, which typically isn't something that you would normally do, but you went out on a limb, you did it, and you learned some valuable lessons from it.
Yeah, I probably don't recommend picking up hitchhikers, Jared, but I recommend being open to what God is going to show you that day. And for me, that particular day, I was working on that. I was trying to be more open to what's next. And as I kind of drove into work, there was a hitchhiker. And after I'd picked him up and spent a little time with him, I realized that God put him in my life. Mm. And had I just kept driving, I would have never learned more about myself even that morning. So I just want our listeners to be open to some change this year, be mm-hmm. open to saying yes, be open to asking God for what can I do to make a difference in somebody else's life today,
yeah,
and just see what happens.
I think that there is something really special in saying no, but there's also really something special in saying yes, to where, again, could you challenge old mindsets, the way that you've always done it, maybe the way that you've always been taught? I've always seen growth in my life when I'm able to step out of my comfort zone and do that. And typically, if you look back, that's when the memorable experiences come. You said something last week that I thought was really interesting, talking about the mundane versus the memorable. Do you remember what that was about?
Well, yeah, I think if you want to live a life that's worth telling a story about, mm-hmm. you can't just do what everybody else is doing. You've got to do something different. So I don't think, in fact, I know that the mundane never makes a good memory. Mm-hmm. It's just the same, right? And it segues nice into our show today, Jared. I mean, that's what we're talking about, is like, if you want more of what last year was, do the exact same thing. And if you want to make changes, you want to make improvements, you have to look at doing something different. Mm-hmm. And for me, I try to get people to live their life that is worth telling the story about.
Yeah.
And that means sometimes picking up a hitchhiker. That means sometimes doing something that you normally wouldn't do for a retiree, especially if they're listening today. It's like, I would much rather do things that I can tell my kids and grandkids about someday.
I think that's a great point. Living a life worthy of telling a story. That's a great little nugget. If you missed any of the shows, including last week's show on being open and having a great 2024, go back, find us on your favorite podcasting platform. We're all over the place. But make sure you go back and listen to those shows. And better yet, share them. Perhaps you've got somebody in your life that needs to hear this message. Please feel free to share this content with people in your life that you think need it. Well, on today's show, Ben, we're going to talk about mapping out your 2024. There's going to be a specific framework and template that we're going to show people by which to really map out their 2024 so this year just doesn't end up looking like last year in repeat. And really, this comes down to intentionality. As we were building out this show, Ben, that's the word that kept coming to mind. Before we get started, first, let's just say this, or at least cover this point. Is it too much to ask that we are suggesting to retirees that they actually go into a year with a very specific plan for their life, perhaps even more so than what they had when they were working?
No, I think it's incredibly important, Jared. There's one thing that we know from working with now thousands of retirees is that their job gave them milestones, it gave them guardrails, it gave them things to look forward to, it gave them, a structure to what they were doing. Yep. And I think it's so important that people continue that type of life, right? When we hear people say things like, you know, what day is it? Well, I don't know. It's like, you know, every day's a Saturday. You hear that comment, you think, okay, if your life's starting to look like every day looks like the last, and every day looks like this ongoing eternity of just weekend. Yeah. That is a problem because you will lose track of, you know, the important things in your life because you know any time we look back and it's hard to see what we had gotten accomplished for that day, that week, that month, it's a problem.
Yeah. I think it's so important. And I've tried to do this a little bit more with my family, and I have younger kids, but really, again, going through it and living intentionally and really getting there in your head, you know, like, where do you want to be in a year? And it sounds so cliche, especially coming after, just the turn of the year that we experienced recently. But I think that that's really, really important. And it's important for young people. It's important for people like you and I who have children still in the house and for retirees. Again, the world's not going to tell you that. The world's going to tell you once you retire, now all of a sudden you don't have to do that. But again, to your point, Ben, it's just like if you're not doing that, it's just going to be play, repeat. And that's just not a great way to steward the life that we were given. There's going to be a specific framework, Ben, that we're going to talk about. First, let's give people kind of the three areas of their life that we're going to encourage them to plan out over the course of a year. What are they?
We're going to start with time, talent, and treasure. And I think you break your life into those three areas. It really helps you see, you know, what are the things that I can, that I have some control over in my life. Now, we know that time is the most valuable of those three because you can have all the talent and treasure in the world, but if you don't have time, it doesn't do any good, right? Followed by talent, and talent's highly important too because you can have time and not have talent, and meaning you're not, you either don't have the health, you don't have the ability to do things that you normally would have, and that time isn't as valuable. And the least important of those three is the treasure piece. And people oftentimes say, us being, you know, a financial firm and working with, you know, retirement plans, is, you know, the money is clearly the most important, and it almost never is. In fact, the money is always needs to be the means. It's never the end.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it. But I would argue if you can get these three areas of your life in check, moving in the right direction in such a way where you're evolving as a person and your life is growing. If it's in these three areas, I think you're hitting home runs, and that's why we're choosing to use that as our framework. Let's talk about the time constraints. I don't think we're suggesting people to retirees that they make these lofty goals and, you know, say at the end of the year, we want to be here. There's got to be a different time zones that we kind of break this down. Let's explain to people kind of a little bit further in the framework that we're suggesting that people create these goals by.
Yeah. So as we look at each of these, Jared, it's going to be important that we don't get overwhelmed by this massive goal from the beginning, right? It's too easy to have this huge goal, this life goal that you're going to, almost regret. Like you're going to be like, oh, I wish I didn't set that big goal because now I've got to do this. If we can move from having this overwhelming big goal into something bite-sized and small, something attainable, right? It makes it way more feasible because you got to realize if you fall short during just a day, you got another day coming tomorrow, right? Yep. Now, if you fall short on this huge annual goal, it takes a whole nother year to get you caught up. Yep. So we're going to break it down. We're going to say, what do we have to do each year? Okay, what's the big picture goal? Mm-hmm. How about quarterly, weekly, and then daily? So we're going to break it all the way down.
I think that's the key to the mapping. You hear a lot of people talking about, create a course, create a map to achieve your goals. And I think that's so important because, I don't know, my tendency is that if I just stare at the big lofty goal, beginning of the year, you throw everything up on the marker board and you're just slapping numbers and slapping ideas there. It makes it too overwhelming to be like, okay, I'm getting up today. It's Tuesday. Okay, now what do I do? Like, I've got all this work to do, but I don't know what to do. And I think that gives purpose and meaning to every day. But also, to your point, I think it gives people a little bit of grace where it's like, you know what? If I didn't have the most productive day or the most intentional day, I've always got tomorrow. And I think that's a big thing people need to hear.
Yeah, if you fail today, there's tomorrow to look forward to. Now, you didn't fail in this entire big goal, right? Your big picture, like I'm trying to become more like this person. Mm-hmm. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall short. We all do that. But if it's just a daily, mistake or a daily like setback, tomorrow you can get it better.
Yeah, you're going to get sick. There's going to be an illness. It's going to take you off your feet. That's going to happen. And so that's why it's important to break these down. So the framework is through time, talent, treasure. We're going to break them down yearly, break them down quarterly, weekly, and daily. Ben, let's start with the treasure piece. What are some examples of setting an annual yearly goal with regards to treasure?
I've had this conversation recently, Jared, with several of our clients, and what we're coming back to is like, I want to be a generous person. Mm-hmm. I want to be known as somebody who's just generous. I want to believe that about myself and do whatever that takes, right? Mm-hmm. To be living in abundance, not scarcity, and just be very, very generous.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it's, unless you're setting actual like giving goals and actual numbers, I think this whole idea of becoming, and Benjamin Hardy talks a lot about this in his books, this art of becoming. I think that's an important piece, and I think that's a great way to frame it. Even the Bible does say it. It says be a joyful giver. Well, that's a becoming state. That's a state of character, and that's kind of what we're explaining.
Yeah, and it starts now, right? Is I'm trying to become this person who's generous. Guess what that doesn't look like, Jared? The way I used to go about it. I used to go about it was like, hey, we'd get to the end of the year and we'd kind of add together how much income was for the business. And then we'd give, our 10% or hopefully more than that. And you'd be like, yeah, I'm a generous person.
Right.
That isn't generous, Jared. That is very, number one, it's legalistic. It's just kind of following what, hey, God, you gave me this. Now here is some back for you. It's actually opposite of what the Bible teaches. And first fruits. So if we're going to live more like a generous person, somebody who just, I'm here with my hands open, it's going to look a lot different than just, oh, I'm just going to go my day and at the end of the year, figure how much money we have and then give a portion back.
So that's the annual goal, to become more generous. What would be an example of now breaking that down into a quarterly goal?
Well, I would start with probably trying to figure out who I want to get closest to as far as who I'm going to bless, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe identify this quarter one new nonprofit, one new charity that I want to become involved in.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. Again, let's take this thing down in bite-sized chunks. And the whole idea of the quarterly goal is that if I achieve my quarterly goals, I'm getting step-by-step closer to that annual goal. Let's break it down even further. What about weekly? How can people utilize this on that time scale?
Well, I would look at relationship building, right? Find somebody in an organization now that I've identified this charity. Mm-hmm. Find somebody that already supports them, maybe within your circle. Find somebody that's done the due diligence that understands what that charity's about and if there's alignment with you and your beliefs. And then move into maybe just send the email. Make the phone call. Get that introduction to somebody at the charity so you can get to know them better.
I really enjoy the weekly, we call them little State of the Union addresses in our family. It's usually Sunday nights. We gather the kids and the wife around the table, and we just say, hey, what's up on the docket this week? We go over our schedules, anything we need to know about. And then I actually kind of get into this same type of routine, even with the kids, but say, hey, what do we got to do this week? You know, to accomplish these things that we have on our hearts and our minds that we want to do, how can we take the steps this week? Lots of times for me, it's just like, there's five people I got to reach out to this week. I got to make contact with these people. You got to find more information on this, fill in the blank. One of my daughters, she wants to get into writing lessons this spring. So I said, hey, you know, by the end of the quarter, we've got to have those on the schedule. But to get them on the schedule, you're going to have to do some research. You're going to have to spend some time in your free time and Google who's doing this in the area. Talk to the neighbor. By the way, we live out in the country and our neighbors have horses. Talk to our neighbor. Maybe she could do it. Maybe she knows somebody. So these are like little mini actions that you can take. To me, I love every facet of the timeline here, but those weekly ones are really, really important.
Yeah, and you break it down further into the day, Jared, and you look at what do I need to do today that's going to make those weekly things happen, right? So I'm like, make the call. Say a prayer. Give something, right, to the charity. Begin that conversation, right? And that's how it all starts, with just an incremental move in that direction of eventually becoming a generous person. You have to do things. I mean, James Clear talks about that, and he's getting, you know, a ton of he's becoming extremely popular lately because he does just that. He's like, if I want to become this person, I've got to do things that are, I think he says something like votes of that's the person I am. So every day you're doing these little things that eventually turn me into a generous person. So for you, if you're listening to this, you're like, I want to be more generous. Well, it kind of starts with little votes each day and say, okay, I need to understand and put my heart into this new entity that I want to support and give them something.
Yeah, I think it's really cool too. I think that we underestimate the power of a year. You know, if we do the little things, we make the little votes, like you said, James Clear talks about in Atomic Habits, those little votes add up over the course of the year. And if you did them regularly, I think that you would start to see, again, your character change. So again, this is just one example. Like if your yearly goal when it comes to treasure is to become more generous, I think this is a really good breakdown on how to map that out. Let's talk about talent, Ben. What would be an example of a yearly annual goal by the end of 2024 with regards to talent?
So if you're of retirement age or not, maybe you're 44, Jared, and all of a sudden it's a new year and you want to be a little more healthy. You might say, I want to be a more active person. I want to be known as somebody who just does things and that is more active and kind of lives countercultural to what, you know, quote unquote, older retired people should do.
Yeah. I think that, again, going back to this idea of being, who do you want to be at the end of the year? How do you want to live? What's that look like for you? And for some people, it might be, again, being a little bit more engaged. But as we've always said, too, you know, if you're not living, you're dying. That should also be part of this as well. How can you utilize your talents, meaning your experiences and, you know, your uniqueness to really get going? If that's for you, then this is probably where you need to set those goals. Where's that look? What does that look like as we break those down a little bit further?
Well, it does not look like, it's easier for me to say what it doesn't look like. It does not look like, hey, I'm going to lose 5 pounds or lose 10 pounds or whatever it is. I think it needs to look like each quarter this year, I'm going to begin to find activities. Just start there. Just find what are the activities that I can see myself doing that if I did them, people would say, yeah, that's an active, that's a retiree living an active lifestyle.
Yeah, pickleball comes to mind because that's like just everybody's doing pickleball. But, you know, what is something that you can try? Maybe you don't know what that is. My youngest daughter says, I want to find out, one thing she said is, I want to discover what my talent is. I'm like, well, you're going to have to do some experimenting. Look at life as a test. Look at this first quarter of the year to say, hey, I'm going to try out a couple of new things. Some of them may stick. Some of them may not, but you got to make that initiative to go out and actually see what is actually working. Let's say you find the gym. Let's say you find the hobby or the thing that really kind of resonates with you. What does it look like more on a weekly schedule?
Well, kind of like we looked at with the treasure, it gets a little more tactical. It's like, I need to find somebody who is engaged in that activity already.
Yeah.
I want to talk to somebody. And by the way, maybe that person's willing to take you along with them and teach you some things, but let's just find the person who is living mm-hmm. that lifestyle and that has the activity already built into their life and simply find out who they are and do a little research.
Yeah, I see there's a reoccurring theme with the weekly ones. A lot of them is just like, you've got to get out there and like develop the relationship, find the person, find the connection that can help you get this instilled with your life. Buy a book. Maybe one of your weekly goals is to like, hey, I got to read two books on this thing this week, or research one, or buy one and get it and start it. But really, again, it's always this idea of growing and evolving how we think and how we do life. I think that's really interesting. What about on a daily schedule? Again, a little bit more tactical, right?
Yeah, it is. It's take the walk, right? Do the thing. I mean, it might not be that even aligned with that activity that you're doing, but you have to, if you're going to see yourself as an active person, you have to begin at least taking a step or two, right? Mm-hmm. At least begin taking the morning walk, at least say, okay, I'm going to stand up at my desk today. I'm going to do things that an active person would do.
Yeah. And again, going back to James Clear, he's just like, I think he gave an example of, if I can just get up in the morning and put on my gym shorts and my sneakers, there's a 99% chance that I'm going to like go for a walk that day. I think it's re-engineering your biology, where you may be in a rut to say, I've always done it this way, but I'm going to like create a pattern disrupt. I'm going to get up and I'm going to try something different, and that's going to set the course for my day. And I think that's why the dailies are just really, really important. Let's talk about time. Why don't you give us kind of an annual goal regarding time?
Jared, one of the hardest things I've seen in my business is somebody who makes a comment like, where did the last 20 years go? Man, I retired early because I had all these things I wanted to do, and they just kind of disappeared, right? The time is gone. And if I want to be somebody who doesn't just let the most impactful years of my life slip away, I'm the type of person that I want to be intentional with each and every day. I'm going to be an intentional person with my time.
So when we start talking about time, we're talking about relationships, spiritual aspects, you know, how do you best steward your time? Likely this is going to be with, you know, your kids, your grandkids, spouse better fit in there. And again, from a spiritual aspect, obviously your relationship with the Lord. So again, I think, how can I grow in those areas? Who do I want to become? Who do I see myself being? What kind of grandfather, grandparent, spouse do I see myself being in a year? So again, let's break that down into the quarterly side. What's that look like?
Well, if you can see, again, that relationship continues to be the same, and you answer the question of what's different this year compared to last year with my relationship with, whether it be God, my spouse, whatever, it starts by saying, okay, I need to find something this quarter to move the needle, find something to look forward to. I think everybody has to have something to look forward to. If your time and relationship was with your spouse, mm-hmm. then book something this quarter, get something that you're going to do together.
Yeah. I think that's important. And especially when it comes to your family, if they had something a little bit on the bigger side to look forward to, whether that's just a quick little getaway or a day at grandpa and grandma's or something like that, I think that's really important. But it's a little bit on the bigger side, but there always needs to be something on that calendar. Let's talk about on a weekly timestamp. What's that look like?
Well, Jared, it means take the date night. You know, for me, that's the one I'm going to be working on, is like, you have to get back to having that date night with your spouse. It has to be something, you know, maybe it's seeing your grandchildren every single week, or making a, you know, putting that into your schedule so that you stay, you know, and really use that time to the best of your ability.
I think too, a lot of people are scared to do this because they don't know what to do, might be a little awkward. Maybe there's a disconnect with certain people in your life, maybe, but you know, that's how you build it. You know, if you did that every single week, week after week after week, your relationship with them would look insanely different, whether it's your spouse, kids, or grandkids, or friend, or an acquaintance that you've lost touch with. And so, again, I challenge people not to let the fear of the big goal hamper you from giving yourself maybe those little tiny votes. Finally, let's wrap it up with this. What's kind of people need to do on the dailies when it comes to this?
Well, Jeremy, when it comes to each day, you know, I'm a huge proponent of journaling. And even if it's not like an official journal, write something down. I was grateful for this today. Here's what I'm going to try for tomorrow. But that helps you really, you know, build that, you know, that differentiation from one day to the next.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency.
Well, hi, I'm Lori LeBay, and I wanted to tell you about Alzheimer's Speaks, which is another great podcast. You see, my own mother lived with dementia for 30 years, and I felt lost. Did you know every 3 seconds someone in the world is being diagnosed with dementia? Odds are it's going to hit your families too. We want to help you connect to services, products, tools, research, and stories so you can be prepared. Please subscribe to Alzheimer's Speaks on your favorite podcast platform.